Hello, my name is Edwin.
This is Jeff.
And this is Gobble Gobble Frantic. Welcome to Tilted Not Stirred, Gobble Gobble Edition.
That's sus as fuck.
Woo! Wait, what's wrong with Gobble Gobble?
Gobble Gobble Frantic.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it's Gobble Gobble. Tilted Not Stirred. There you go. Right, you never heard Gobble Gobble?
Yeah.
Like not in that context. Yeah, not in this context.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call myself Gobble Gobble Edwin.
Hey, I mean, it's not what I heard. But anyways.
Jeez.
How are you guys?
Pretty good, man. Pretty chilling. Good.
Hey, it was real nice seeing you guys on last week. I had to put it in the group chat because I'm like, man, like, I remember, I guess I was just reminiscing that day. Like, man, we used to all hang out every weekend. Yeah, I'm going to hit up the boys, see if they want to hang out.
Yeah, and
it was like the good old days.
I was telling Jeff when we were on our way that there's Fridays where I'm just chilling at home. And that's all I do. I just kind of chill, let the night pass, go to sleep. And it's like, that time was allotted for the boys. You know what I mean? Every True. Friday we all got together, and there's just been, you know, since COVID and all that stuff, I've become more accepting of being at home and
right.
kind of just not doing much. Right. And you texted us and I was like, wow, Friday for the boys. I'm fucking exhausted, but for the boys. And I went out there and it was so much fun.
Yeah, we had good food. We had
good company.
We had dinner and a show. I mean, yeah, the company was all right, but the performer, man, that guy was. I should have grabbed that guy's card for a future wedding because, man, he was playing all the Teenage Angst bangers. Almost brought a tear to my eye.
And he had a good voice.
Yeah, I mean, for the genre of music, for sure. Yeah, just solo performing. Jamming out, basically playing all the nostalgia rock and like punk rock tracks on a la acoustic. It was very awesome. It was a good night.
For sure.
Yeah. What else do you guys do over the weekend?
Speaking of good music, I guess I went to a Beach Boys concert. You know, they've been doing it for 60 motherfucking years. There's
Are
only
they still
one-
good?
I mean, there's only one guy, and then the rest are like relatives of the other guys.
Uh-huh.
But it was pretty fucking good. Like, I mean, he started with Social Commentary, which was a little wild and boomery.
Did he have like hot takes or anything, or was it just kind of like...
It was like
the world's fucked up, man. We're here and we're gonna have a good time, all right?
No, he was going to play a song called like Beach Girl or something, Surfer Girl, and he said, "I know we are in a college institution, and these pronouns that I'm going to."
Oh my god!
Yeah, so he like shoehorned this whole pronoun conversation, and he goes, "But for this sake, we're going to be using she, you know, because it's a Gross. Girl. And it's pretty hard to use any other pronoun."
Wow. And so he opened up with being like very inclusive. And then the cat was out of the bag when he said it'd be pretty hard to name them with any other pronoun.
Yes, because he's like, the song is called Surfer Girl. Like, I have to sing.
Jesus.
About a she. And it was just like, bro, you didn't have to.
Yeah.
Matt could have said nothing at all and just played the song.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, shit. I mean, is that the demo that goes and watches the Beach Boys?
Bro, they're old as fuck. They've been playing for 60 years.
Yeah, which kind of, you know, makes me wonder, like, who are they? I don't know. Maybe it was because of the college campus that they were playing at. But
there's a bunch of young people, but also like a lot of young people that came with like their grandparents or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I I didn't know how many Beach Boys. Yo.
Shots fired.
No. Man, makes one reference about pronouns, and now he's a bitch boy. Not even a beach boy anymore.
I didn't know how many Beach Boys songs I actually knew. You know, I thought I only knew Surfing Safari, but, you know, wouldn't it be nice? Good Vibrations. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, damn, I didn't know that they sang this, you know, and then the Kokomo or whatever, Way Down in Kokomo. That's a good song, too. I'm just like, huh, cool stuff. But.
Right on. That was on Saturday? Yeah. When was that concert on Saturday?
Yeah, that
I want to go see Wakanda Forever that day. And
I mean, we can't talk about it, but you like it?
Wait, we can't talk about
spoilers, man.
Because Jeff hasn't seen it.
How have you not seen it, man?
Because I'm not going to go to the theaters to watch that. I'll rather just wait for it to be on Disney Plus for free.
So should I?
For the subscription to that.
Well, I guess I won't say anything about it.
Did you like it? Yes or no?
I mean, I liked it. It's a Marvel movie without a Chadwick. So what can you expect? That's all I'm going to say. It was okay. I feel like it's worth watching. I don't know. Maybe yeah. Expectations, you know, don't set any kind of crazy expectations for it.
100%. I feel the same way.
Watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
But
yeah. After I finished, never mind. I don't want to. No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll what let Jeff that? Watch it, and then we'll talk about it on our own. It's fine.
For sure. Something that derailed my entire weekend was the World Cup.
Yes. That.
Let's save it for after the intro.
It's beautiful.
All right, roll the intro.
We'll roll the intro.
Wait, Jeff, what have you been up to?
It's too late.
I've been listening to the intro.
It's a pretty good one.
So, Jeff, I take it you've been all up on the World Cup?
I've watched 3 games.
Oh, wow. I guess I've watched more than you then.
Yeah. Well, 2.5 games. But I did wake up at 8 in the morning to watch Mexico play.
Wow, you actually woke up early.
Yeah. I should have just slept and woken up at the second quarter.
It was a good game, man. It was a good game. I guess we'll talk about the World Cup from the start. Qatar on the wrong side of history here with the host team being the Qatar men's soccer team is the first host team to lose the opening game at a World Cup.
For real?
So that's that was great. Yeah.
Wait, they're the first?
Yep, very first host team. Right.
I mean, Russia was on roids, so.
Yeah, I looked it up, and apparently that they're the first host team to lose the opening game. Not they don't have to win, just they're the first ones to lose.
Ah.
No, okay, I guess
that
okay.
makes more sense, yeah.
So that is a very interesting
I mean,
I looked it up, and I mean, I didn't do a shit ton of digging, but that is kind of remarkable to be the first to lose.
They tried their hardest not to lose, right? The first in the first 3 minutes, they get scored on, and all of a sudden, it's not a goal.
Yeah, Ecuador is actually, I was surprised, like pleasantly surprised that they're. They look half decent. Like, they're going to be competitive and they're going to be fun to watch. What I didn't like is the very first goal that they scored, but then they called off. And this is something that's been bugging me a lot for this World Cup is the offsides and this new technology that's supposed to be like, oh, the cameras can see if players are behind the defense and that the ball has a chip, and the ball once it's passed, and it's bullshit. Like
they'll give like if they gave you a real life picture of what's happening, like it's very easy to kind of be like, okay, I see it. But because they gave you a computerized version of it, it's just like, during that goal especially, right? They only show the defender and the player, but they don't show the goalkeeper. And when they do show you that image, that's after the pass. Offside states that when the pass happens, that's when you're offside.
Right.
But the ball was already, like, in the air, on their heads, you know? And it's just like, okay, we need more context here other than this computerized image of a player that's offside.
That I mean, only shows... Do you want to see the money going into the ref's pockets? What else do you want to see there?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to see them handing the briefcase with pictures?
So exactly. The very first goal, I think they said that, like, oh, his arm was, like, in front of the defender and, like, it's offside because of that. After they already celebrated, after, you know, all the fans already popped off and they're like, no, no, it's not a goal. And I'm like, okay, so Qatar is actually just trying to, like, buy this game, like, actually. But then the more games I watch, the more that this technology has been getting in the way of games. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it wasn't rigged in the Qatar one, even though they still lost. I guess it's really just like what this World Cup is going to be. And it's been a lot of late calls. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, like...
I mean, against Mexico, they waited like a whole 30 seconds before the guy went to the VAR review.
Yeah,
That's been a new rule because what tends to happen if you call it right away, let's say someone calls an offside right away and it wasn't offside, right? But the guy goes on to score the goal. They'll go back after the goal is scored and then be like, was this offside? And if it was not offside, the goal stands. And if it was offside, the goal gets... Like, well,
that's
out.
Fine, but there was already another play happening.
Yeah, and people are getting fouled or like risking injury because they're having all these late ass calls. Like, if it's a foul, call it a foul at the spot. If it's offsides, call it offsides on the spot. Like, we don't need play to continue, and then you look at the consequences of the play, and you're like, actually, no, that's not a goal.
Yeah, 100%. It's always been an argument after, like, VAR and all these, like, technologies getting into the soccer game. Like, that's been a concern.
Hey, man, I won't let you badmouth goal line technology.
Goal line technology works. It's what it is. And what goal line technology does is if the ball crosses the line at any point, the ref gets a goal or no goal on his watch. And that's it. Like, goal line technology doesn't do anything other than, is it a goal or is it not a goal?
And if I'm referring to the old way where they just used to show you the ball crossing, they digitized it and it made no sense. Like, this is a goal. Look at this image of a ball crossing a line. Like, it's all computerized.
Yeah.
They still do that.
It's kind of like such a meme. In tennis as well. I don't know if you guys have seen, like, when they review whether a serve was in or not, or like if you know, the rally's going on, and they'll show you a computerized, like, a little silhouette of the ball. And then, like, if that like, as if the ball leaves, like, a shadow on the ground. It's so strange. But, like,
it's elongated and everything.
It's an elongated shadow. And then, like, if the shadow's touching the line, it's like, oh, it's in. There it is. It's like, oh, my God.
Why can't they just overlay the video? And, you know, like, why does it have to be a computerized image?
Exactly. Dude. That's literally it. But yeah, England beats Iran 6-2. England's filling themselves. They think it's going to be coming home.
Wait, hey. They beat a bad team.
It's coming home. It's coming home, boys.
The real shock is that they let two goals score on them. Like, what?
I mean, they're just like stat padding, you know. They're just kind of having fun out there scoring goals. And
what do you mean? Goals matter, no?
Yeah, I mean, the goal differential, I mean, they're straight, like, getting scored
when you,
twice,
when you score, yeah, when you go score six, it's like you still have a four goal differential. So,
yep.
It's not the end of the world.
The world could use more Brazil score lines.
Senegal loses to the Netherlands 2-0. That one especially hurt for me because Chelsea's goalkeeper is the goalkeeper for Senegal, and he looked pretty bad. And he's looked pretty bad for Chelsea as well. So it's kind of fucking sad.
Well, speaking of Chelsea players, you got a USA, huh?
Oh, my God. So the USA game in Wales. And like the US controlled what? Like 80% of the possession?
Something absurd in something the first like quarter that. Or yeah. first half.
Wales did absolute shit. They didn't do
Wales anything. Was out there looking like they were trying to get a draw.
Exactly.
Or lose.
No, they were trying to get a draw or work the counterattack. You know, if or the like US is all pushed off a up
set piece or something.
Exactly.
Draw foul, yeah.
They were trying to win that way. Pulisic running around doing a lot of positive runs and then doing absolute nothing with it. And that's what he's been doing for Chelsea. That's why he gets benched. Everybody in the US is like, Pulisic needs a better team, blah, blah, blah. And it has been three Chelsea coaches that have played him and realized that he wasn't good for them. And they've benched, each and every one of them has benched him. And this World Cup was supposed to be his redemption of like, Chelsea doesn't play him enough. Like, they're fucking up. And, you know, his end product is really bad. It cost us the fucking game to Wales, who did nothing. And it's just like, God damn it, dude. If you were to just connect the cross, he attempted so many crosses.
Yeah, they were all low, man. It wasn't a good look.
100%. Even off the corners. Your corner kick to the first defender.
Yeah, the first defender. It was not a good look. What I will say about the USA game is that they came out with a lot of energy in the first like 5-10 minutes. And I was like, holy shit, like this pace is insane. Like, is this really the US? And then like when they slowed down, it's like, okay, cool. Like, they're not really built like that. Like, that's cool. They're back down to earth. But the game was okay in the end. I mean, I don't mind the 1-1. It is what it is.
So the guy who scored, Tim Weah, his dad, George Weah, was a Ballon d'Or winner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
What team did he used to play for, his dad?
George Weah.
If you don't know, it's cool. I just wonder.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's for, yeah.
But he's a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, he was a Ballon d'Or winner.
That's pretty good.
And now he's a president of Liberia or some shit.
Oh, damn.
All right.
Busting Manny Pacquiao, taking the success in sports and then taking it to new heights with the government position.
Let me look that up real quick. George Weah. But anyways, his dad was... He has a lot to live up to.
I mean, it's kind of hard. It's like, imagine like like LeBron James' son having to live up to LeBron James. Like, that's fucking tough. Like, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that when sons go into the same sport, you know, there's like some sort of expectation or comparison. So I don't think he needs to win a Ballon d'Or to, I guess, justify the, you know, being a soccer player, but. Anyways, moving on from the USA game, we have one of the perhaps the biggest upset of the tournament. We had Saudi Arabia defeating Argentina out of nowhere. Or maybe it was Saudi Arabia and the refs, or Saudi Arabia and the offsides technology. But Argentina looked like they had no answers for the defense. Basically, the offside traps that Saudi Arabia was putting on them, I mean, it worked. They won the game.
They pressed them pretty high up, and that second goal was incredible. You know, it was a beautiful banger. Goal.
It was a good one. Yeah. It was worthy of winning the game for sure.
The commentators when the game started were like, "Hey, keep an eye on Al Dawsari." Or whatever his name was. I don't know if I butchered the pronunciation, but they're like, keep an eye out for him. He has a knack for the incredible. And sure enough, he scored that second goal.
Are you watching the games on Fox or Telemundo?
I'm watching it on Fox Sports 1.
Wow. Dude, they're so boring. I try to watch a game in English. It's boring. Telemundo Deportes is where it's at. Not sponsored, just saying.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Argentina is shook right now. Luckily for them, the result of the Mexico-Poland game kind of gives them a chance because Poland and Mexico both tied 0-0. Surprised that Mexico was able to impose their will on the Polish team, despite not, you know, being able
to finish,
which is, you know, it wouldn't be a Mexican team without it. So I'm glad to see that some things never change.
Just like Santo Memo Ochoa.
Just like Memo Ochoa, who's proven to us yet again that he is the best player ever in the history of Mexico. he's sanctified.
the weakness that we all knew Mexico has, right? Set pieces. They were not going to win corners against the Polish.
Yeah, the Polish had like a 5 foot height advantage.
They survived them. Pretty impressive.
They defended the Polish corner as well.
You know, and it they dictated play. They did everything right, but they don't have a striker. Ever since Jimenez's injury, he has been a shadow of himself. So much so that his team, Wolverhampton Wolves, Wanderers, they played him and he wasn't doing anything for them, so much so that they completely dropped him from the team. Like, he's not he's not a substitute, and he's not a starter. Right. You know? So by Mexico calling him up, that was a huge gamble when he's not really playing.
I mean, they brought him in this game, and he looked fine. He was making good runs. He didn't really have, I think he had, one good shot.
There was that run where it was a good counter. It was him by himself, and I think he had one other defender, and he, kicked it a little too far ahead of him, and it was just over. But
I don't think that was him. I think that was another guy.
No, that was him when he came in. Yeah. Hmm. But Denmark is supposed to be the dark horse for a lot of people. A lot of people are, you know...
For, the group or for the whole tournament?
For the whole tournament. They're putting They're putting them semifinalists at least.
Who are they playing? What group are they in?
They played Tunisia and totally fucking didn't do
anything. They're in France's group.
Yeah.
Where France has, what seems Australia. To be a very easy group with Denmark, Tunisia, and Australia, and they dominated their first game, so there it is.
With sexy Giroud.
Sexy Giroud, Mbappe doing his thing, but, you know, without making the podcast into a World Cup podcast, so far, so good. World Cup has delivered highs and lows, but... there's still a lot of games to be played. So I guess we'll pick this back up, the World Cup talk at least, for the next episode. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Great.
One thing before we get to our topic, sorry.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about Hive because we're sponsored by... No, I'm just kidding. Not because we're sponsored, but because Edwin was telling me hey, did you hear... that some people are jumping ship from Twitter to this new social media app called Hive. And me being in advertising, I'm like, oh, well, I might as well look into this. And I wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't find the origin story behind it kind of interesting. And it's not like, oh, some crazy coincidence that this app was created or anything like that. It's just more so that the creator... is actually a student living in Southern California, 23 years old, by the way. Raluca Pop. Hopefully I pronounced her name correctly. But basically she taught herself how to code back in 2019, and she used to kind of be like a micro influencer and stuff like that, and she just kind of hated how Twitter and Instagram and all the algorithms and the ads you were getting. Basically, that these social media ads were no longer fun and just kind of like way too like corporate, you know? So she's like, oh, I'm going to create an app. And they have over 1 million users. And I don't know how viable this app is going to be, but I mean, it has a lot of the... It has a lot of the stuff that you're already kind of used to seeing in social media stuff, like the discover, a trending, the ability to repost stuff. So not sure if it is a direct replacement.
Is this like a Reddit thing? Is this like a Twitter
thing? It's more like a Twitter / Instagram thing. I don't know if it's a direct replacement, but it could be a cool place for people to go to if they kind of like hate the whole algorithmic stuff and the overwhelming amount of ads. What I will say though is that it's great that she created this app and she's getting like all this, like, you know, thousands and thousands of people enrolling. What I will say though is that I wouldn't bet on this app, like social media app, like being ad free for much longer. If like they start hitting like tens of millions of people,
yeah, then servers are expensive.
Yeah, servers are expensive, and well, it's a lot of money to be made in advertising. So very cool, very cool. I like that. I like that there are options out there for social media, and if Hive continues to grow and becomes mainstream, then good on her. 23 years old and successful. That's awesome.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's basically my bit on Hive. You asked me about it and I told you like, oh, I got something for you on the pod to, you know, basically what it is. So that's that.
Well, okay. Would you guys be joining any new social medias? I think I'm done. I think I'm
not. I've been done for the last 10 years.
This is where we're old, man.
I am not following society into another fucking social
media. I didn't do TikTok, and like at my ad agency, they talk about it and shit. And I'm just like, oh no, I'm out of touch. I don't know what that is. I don't do it.
I think it just happens, dude. This is it. Like, yeah. It happens. Like,
I barely use Instagram. Facebook is dead to me.
But even then,
I deleted Snapchat.
Think about how we're the first generation that is happening it to. Like, obsolescence and stuff, yeah, it's always been a thing, but obsolescence in social media, I think this is a us generation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we're the generation that's definitely exploring a lot of these things, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I don't know what it would take for me to download a new social media. I guess the only thing right now would be like friends. Like if all the guys are like, dude, we all gotta get on this, and I'll be inclined. If my girlfriend tells me you should download this social media app, because I want to like send you stuff on it, I'm like, well, I guess I'll do it. But I don't know how much I'll actually focus on, you know, either like recruiting friends to jump on or like upping my numbers, you know, like, you know, following people or whatever. Like, I don't know. Social media at this point, before you would use it to like connect with a bunch of people. And then I feel like the older you get, the more bridges have already like either like started to rot or burned at some point. So you're like, actually, my social circle is not as big as it once was. And I actually 100%. Don't need to keep up with everybody, because the ones that matter the most are the ones I already talked to. So it's an interesting dynamic.
100%. I feel like having an Instagram right now, I have tiny micro like conversations with people that I haven't really talked to in a long time. If something is like interesting that they post, I'm like, oh, you know, this or that or the other, right? But other than that, it doesn't pass that superficial level of whatever it is. It's never like, hey, how are you? You know what I'm saying? It's so shallow that I feel like it, for the context that we all had it for, that no longer applies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of unfortunate, but it's a realization that you at some point become okay with.
Yeah, I mean it's fine. Social media is not that important. I don't know. Maybe once we get like much, or maybe it's like a roller coaster type of thing. Like, you know, you'll have your highs, your lows, and then as we get older, it'll be even more important because that'll be the only way we communicate. Who knows?
Well, think about like.
I mean, all about, the old people now will use Facebook, right?
Yeah, but like, think about this, right? Everyone's moving on to a different social media. Everybody who does join the social medias stays together, right? If you were to join Hive, right, the people that you know from high school or college and all that stuff that have joined Hive, they're going to find you and you're going to be friends and stuff. All those other people that do not follow you to Hive become kind of dead to you in every sense of the way. Right? They didn't move with you. A lot of people are moving along with each other. Once you stop that cycle, you're kind of dead to that person.
I guess I could kind of see that.
It's kind of putting way too much importance on social media.
No, it's not. It's not the importance. The
thing about social media is that it's like a huge thing. And just because you don't have social media doesn't mean that it's not like important or that it doesn't form a huge part of a lot of people's lives. So, I mean, we're 100%. Just, maybe we're like overanalyzing it and people are just, you know, like lizard brain and just like, oh, buttons and hearts and I just want to be liked, you know, like whatever. Dude,
it is just a dopamine delivery system. The people you really talk to, you already have phone numbers with and, you know, you talk to them through like your messaging system, not through Instagram.
Right.
Most of the time, right? So it's like, it's just dopamine and an ad delivery system. That's all social media is nowadays.
Kind of, yeah.
It's a very, like Frank said, it's a very big part of life and society in general, you know, that we cannot diminish its big role in our society, you know?
Yeah, so...
As gross as that is.
Yeah, I guess we'll... That's more of like, I guess we'll just have to wait and see where that goes. Because I never thought that I would see like Twitter fall, and it's like falling. And same thing with MySpace. Back when MySpace was huge, could you ever imagine MySpace would no longer be a thing at some point?
Oh, so, yeah, dude.
There's a lot of
MySpace
like,
was terrible.
Was it, though?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Not the way I remember it.
I mean... You were a child back in the day, so...
Yeah, I mean, I had nothing else to compare it to. That's true.
Yeah. Well, social media, it's scary. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it is.
Start being really old. I mean, it's scary, and I don't understand it.
I mean, the biggest... I mean, just, I guess, just to kind of finish off this conversation, the biggest... thing with social media is going to be like if we ever have kids, that conversation about like when's the good age or should they ever use it, like it, you know, that's going to be the hardest question. I think
I made a MySpace as a child and I was strictly told that I couldn't make one, but because I really liked this girl and she had a MySpace, I made one.
Bro, I was an unsupervised child with the internet, so
I got grounded to hell for that, but was it worth it? Sure, I guess.
How did your mom figure out you made an MySpace?
Because I was using it.
Oh.
No, I was using it. But yeah. I was what?
So would you try to stop your kids from doing it, or just be like, you know what, they're gonna do it whether I know it or not, and so might as well just have that conversation with them. What do you think you're gonna be?
Because we were raised with the internet, we know it. We know that you'll see some fucked up shit. You'll see things that you shouldn't be seeing, and it's just about being responsible with, like, because I mean, it's too many self-imposed rules and stuff. You're going to make your kid rebel against you.
Dude, I'm just going to sit my kid down and be like, son, today I'm going to teach you how to clear your search history.
I don't want to know what you want. I don't want to know. You don't want us to know.
Yeah.
And the wonders of private browsing.
That's true.
Yeah, we just gotta. Browsing.
And you don't Google pornography of the people your age.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's probably.
You just gotta be responsible for it, man.
Changing one gears of
my
here.
Wait, actually, no? One last thing about social media. Okay. One of my friends this weekend met a girl, right? And they had been talking on Tinder, on like a dating app or whatever. They had met, they'd been talking and stuff, and they exchanged nudes, right? Mm. Lo and behold, this was not a girl. It was a dude, and was like, $5,000 or I will release these pictures to your homies. And this person chose me.
So you got a dick pic?
I woke up and I have three messages from my friend saying, whatever you do, don't open those messages.
Wow.
And I was like, sure, done deal. Right.
So you immediately opened it?
No.
I mean, you gotta see. I mean, you gotta be a little curious, no?
No, I just deleted it, but wow. It was just like I got you, man, but don't pay this person. This person, you pay them, what, $5,000? He'll still do it.
Yeah,
it's called reverse Google imaging searches.
Reverse Google imaging searches?
Yeah, you just, whenever they send you a nude, you know, you right click, image search, and then you can see if it's just the standard photo, you know?
What?
Wait, how does that work? Because
if someone's pretending to be a girl, they're not going to use an actual photo. They're going to use what's already out there.
I see.
So if you
can
find it on the internet, that means it's not who they say they are.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so be careful out there with social media.
I got. Be if careful. You're talking to someone, you got to search their profile picture now. This is what this is. This is what we've come to.
I mean, you got to do that on Tinder too.
I mean, meet the person.
I never used that stuff, so maybe I'm just delusional.
Meet the person before you send them pictures of your butthole.
Probably important.
Or just have a photo of Justin Verlander on standby for those occasions.
Send them a fake dick pic.
Jesus.
All right.
Well, changing gears. I mean, shit. How do we? We're gonna go from talking about Justin Verlander's big schlong to what we're all thankful for. This is the gobble gobble edition of Tilted Not Stirred. So I guess maybe it is a perfect segue.
I ain't do no gobbling.
No gobble gobble. You had a chance.
I didn't do any gobble gobbling.
So let's I guess get a little cheesy. But you know, what are you guys thankful for? This is Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday, despite people, you know, saying how much of a shit thing it is, but it's a good one.
I'm gonna go first just so I can steal this one before you guys can say it. I'm thankful for you guys. Aw.
Wow. Oh shit, I wasn't ready. I didn't. Aww. Wow. That's beautiful. Thanks, Jeff. Hey, I'm thankful for you too, man.
Hey, man, thanks.
What else are you thankful for, though? Like, not memes aside. we're just internet friends. We're not really friends.
Oh, fake stuff aside. Contractual obligations.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, dude. Friends, family, health, the Dodgers. What more does a man need in life?
Yeah. I'm pretty much the same, you know, my family, my job, the fact that my future is looking pretty bright.
Hell yeah, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Denise.
D-Nice.
D-Nice. The fact that, you know, she's amazing. Yeah, I could say a lot, but I won't. And the fact that I'm in a privileged position to be comfortable in life right now, that's kind of nice. The fact that I could come home, do this podcast, not have problems with money or health or anything in general. You know, everything seems pretty good. And I like that.
Damn. Dude, that's awesome. I mean, you stole a lot of the ones that I was going to say, but yeah, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. It's, all our parents here are basically immigrants, right? We're first gen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, they wanted us to have an easier life, and, it definitely is easier than theirs. Sometimes I do feel like, man, maybe I should work a little harder, but, maybe I'm just a silent quitter, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm chilling. Like, I'm good right here. So, I don't know. But, my amazing girlfriend, obviously, first and foremost. And that's been nothing but a positive in my life. So, very nice. We're about to be 33 years together. Time flies, man. Time flies. Yeah. The health of my family, something I'm very thankful for. We just don't get sick, man. It's pretty great. Maybe it's because we don't like, I mean, there's people that like break their bones, like, cause they went like on a ski trip or like they do like, you know, stuff like that. And so they're more, I guess exposed to potential things that might get them in the hospital. But like, we're just a very chill family that, you know, doesn't engage in anything dangerous, and we're all relatively healthy, and we don't get sick off of anything. So, I mean, I'm about to be 30 years old, and my family is still holding strong. So that's a great thing. The fact that all the homies are still kicking and screaming, that's always good. Unfortunately, this year I've seen a lot of people lose a lot of friends out of nowhere. And they're all young people, and it's like, holy fuck. That is sad. Whenever I see, like, in movies or in novelas and stuff, back when I used to watch them, and the parents were crying and basically saying, like, a parent should never see the death of their child. And it's just like, fuck. It's some heavy stuff. And the fact that all the homies are still up, it's like, dude, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2022, and we're still here.
Yeah, we survived the fucking pandemic.
Yeah, man, our kid. Well, I mean, for those who are gonna have kids, we're gonna have great stories to tell them about how we made it through a pandemic.
But we sat around doing nothing for.
We were brave. We were brave. We
played Animal Crossing.
we were brave, and we took it head on. Sometimes we wouldn't even wear a mask when we went outside. That's how much of a badass we were.
I watched a shit ton of Netflix. Played Animal Crossing with the boys and my girlfriend. Yeah, I was so brave.
Yeah, and thankful for the glorious House of Gains. Been I re-upped on another year of the gym, so very, very nice.
Very nice.
And finally, just thankful for another shit year that's gone by, and I'm still happy and mostly unbothered. It's good times, man. It is good times. Not for everyone, but in Franek's world, we're doing all right. Yeah. We're doing all right.
Well, we got a little heavy. How about we get a little heavy with the Thanksgiving dishes? What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Ooh, I got to go with ham and mashed potatoes.
Whether it's a side or a main dish, what's up? Just ham and mashed potatoes?
Yeah, what more do you need, dude? The turkey is overrated.
I don't eat ham.
Turkey is overrated? Oh, no.
I do not eat ham. I would choose not to eat ham.
Hey, I mean, we all make choices in life. Some of them are wrong, but,
you know. To be fair to Jeff, I actually do look forward more to the ham than the turkey. But the turkey is essential.
I'm not saying it's not essential. I'm just saying it's overrated.
You know, I served myself a plate, right? And I don't know what I like most. But I do know that each and every side and main dish and everything is covered with gravy. I think I like gravy.
Shout outs to King's Hawaiian Rolls getting a special mention.
King's Hawaiian Rolls is my favorite Thanksgiving food.
with some mashed potatoes and some turkey in there.
Do they sell King's Hawaiian Rolls like year round?
Yeah.
Oh, because I feel like I only ever have them on Thanksgiving.
It's just Thanksgiving when they're sold out.
Yeah.
Like you can't find them.
Holy shit.
Maybe butter the tops, fry them a little bit.
Oof.
Oh, wait a minute. So you don't just eat them like straight out of the bag?
I can.
You guys do something fancy with them? What do you do?
Fancy. Yeah, you can get fancy with them.
Wait,
yeah.
Tell me, please. I need to know.
I mean, I see a lot of people in my family, they just butter it up. They split it open, butter both sides, and there you go.
Okay, so just butter?
I make a little slider.
A slider?
Yeah, garlic. That's what I do.
And garlic mash. You know, you put your garlic mash in there, you put your turkey, you put your gravy on there, and, you know, if you want to put green beans or corn, go ahead, you know, and you just make that into a sandwich, and it's a Thanksgiving miracle.
I'm going to try that.
Maybe soak the bread in the gravy for a little bit before you do that.
Boy. I think I just like gravy.
I'd say my favorite thing for Thanksgiving is mashed potatoes.
Do we fuck with stuffing? Because I fuck with stuffing.
It depends on the stuffing. I like the traditional bread stuffing, but not like the ground beef stuffing.
Yeah, at my lady's place, they're the first family that I have a Thanksgiving with and that they have stuffing. And so at first I was a little apprehensive, didn't know if I was going to like it. I was confused. Like, I thought y'all were Mexican. What are you doing?
It's the one day a year we could eat like white people, man.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, so y'all have stuffing then. All right, let me try this. And yeah, it was great. I definitely recommend. What I know about stuffing is that everyone does it different. So,
yeah, this is what I was gonna bring up.
Yeah,
right?
So it's
there's hit people or miss. That put it inside the turkey, and then
you're not supposed to do that.
There's people that do that.
They cook at different temperatures and different times.
Makes sense.
I do stovetop stuffing. I don't put that shit inside my fucking turkey. Like, nah. Not dog. Because yeah, they do cook at different temperatures, and you're gonna get either some raw ass turkey or some raw ass stuffing or some burnt ass stuffing.
Yeah, or dry. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I do the stovetop things, and if I want to combine them when they're in my plate, go ahead. But when it's inside, that's a little wild.
So one of the things about Thanksgiving that I would like to one day possess this skill. Is to be the mac and cheese guy. I want to one day perfect the mac and cheese to a point where it's like, oh man, we need to invite this guy over because he's the mac and cheese guy. That's what I would want to be one day. I aspire to that. I don't know. Like, I've never cooked mac and cheese before, but I just feel like it's one of those things like, if you're the mac and cheese guy, you will guaranteed be invited to the Thanksgiving dinner.
I mean, it's pretty simple, dude. You start with your roux, which is just flour and butter. That's the foundation of it all. And then after you get your roux, that's when you blend your cheeses. And you have your pasta cooking separate, and then you throw it all together.
And then you know, if it were simple, involved. Then anyone can do it. But not everyone can be the mac and cheese guy. Or lady.
What's something you don't fuck with at Thanksgiving?
Might be sacrilege, but I was going to say that I'm not really a huge gravy person.
I mean, yeah, that's more for me. That's
good. Oh, man. Anything green, get that out of here. This is a time for indulgence. Get that healthy crap off my plate.
Green beans?
No. Get that healthy shit off my plate, dude. This is a time for indulgence.
You got the celery inside the stuffing? Bro, you fucking up.
See, we don't put celery inside stuffing.
I'm trying to think if I eat anything green on that day. Not really. No one makes a salad either.
Mm-mm. There's no green maybe if the
apple pie is made with green apples, you know. I guess you can kind of count that.
I haven't had an apple pie in a hot minute. I might need to swoop by Mickey D's one of these days.
I don't fuck with cranberry sauce.
I don't think I've ever tried cranberry sauce. It's it seems very off-putting.
It's like, what?
I had it. It was good.
Yeah?
That's good.
I saw one commercial for it where it was literally them opening up the can, plopping it onto the plate, and it was like gelatin. And that was their selling point. Like, oh, look at it. Look at it jiggle. And I'm like, yo, that does not look appetizing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's supposed to be a sauce, not gelatin.
Cranberry is like my favorite thing. So like, I fucked with it. I was like, yeah, this is cool. I don't know why I don't have this normally, if you have, but it was good.
If you have the person in your family who brings over fruit Jell-O, Jell-O with fruit inside of it, like, uninvite those motherfuckers. That's disgusting.
I'm thinking of like Thanksgiving fails, and I remember my mom saying that she'll make the mac and cheese. I'm like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, it's got to be like the best mac and cheese. She's like, yeah, don't worry, I got you. It was fucking Kraft's mac. I don't know if I've ever been more disappointed at Thanksgiving dinner. Although the rest of the food was great, but I was just kind of like, holy crap. It was like, what just happened? I mean, it was mac and cheese. She did what she said she was gonna do. I thought we were speaking the same language.
Wait, are baked beans part of the Thanksgiving feast?
Not in my house.
Nah, not mine either.
Damn, they should be.
I feel it's like more of a Christmas thing for us.
They'll go right in.
And do you guys have tamales?
Wait, you have beans? Like
they're more like refried beans with a fuck ton of chili in them.
Oh, okay. I was talking about like the barbecue tasting ones.
So what about tamales? Saying?
Yeah, I get it, but nah.
Yeah, I feel like that would go real well in the white person like meal you're having.
Well, what about tamales though?
That's for Christmas.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah. That's Christmas.
No, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it's like a constant, like a endless supply of tamales. I don't know how it happens, but it just doesn't seem like they ever end.
I think it's a December thing. 100% a December thing. It cannot be a November thing. Because you got the Virgin Mary's birthday that people go all out with. You got Christmas. You got las posadas before Christmas. There's a lot of fucking tamale consumption in December. And then if you're anything like my family, where you make 60 tamales for families of three, you have tamales. You funny. Have tamales
for 2 weeks after?
Yeah, tamales well into February.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, yeah. This Thanksgiving is going to be a little different, but well, yeah, hopefully everyone is able to make it to their families and doesn't spend it alone. At least have somebody to spend it with.
You know what's one of my regrets this year? That I didn't plan a Friendsgiving. That would have been so dope.
I mean, we still can.
I mean, shit. It's way too... I mean,
you could always just hang out with the squad with good food. Sorry
about that. Order some pizza.
Hell nah.
Some McRibs.
Oh.
Hell nah. None of that shit. But yeah, Friendsgiving. I've only done one once, and it was amazing.
Was it the same one we went to?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
It was a good time.
Yeah,
it was cool. Actually, I've done two, but yeah. Pretty good stuff.
See, Friendsgiving wouldn't work for us because none of us really cook except for one of the homies. And that's just like leaving it all on him.
On David?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Fanny can bring his mashed potatoes, dude.
I could do that.
Mac and cheese, my bad.
Well, I could do mashed potatoes. I want to be the mac and cheese guy, maybe. Maybe I just want to be the guy that brings the signs. I don't know.
I'll bring the Jello with the fruit inside.
No.
I'll bring the King's Hawaiian rolls.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts? Mexico is still in this.
I'm thankful for Memo Ochoa.
Thankful for her Memo Ochoa.
Santo Memo.
Yeah, yeah. He's a god. Anyways, closing thoughts. Thankful for our listeners. Thankful for you guys for, what is this, episode 79 now? We've had a lot of great conversations, man. I just want to keep it going. Whether we choose to really make a push to grow it or to just continue having it be a thing that at least forces us once a week to sit together and talk for an hour. Wherever it goes, man, I'm very happy and thankful for you guys.
You know, I'm thankful for the people that we don't personally know that listen to our podcast. That's fucking amazing.
That is cool. And they probably know way too much about us, despite us being strangers.
Well, they're friends now. And you can reach us at our website, tiltednoster.com, or at our Instagram. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube.
Remember to join us to share your questions and voice your thoughts on what has you tilted, not stirred.
See ya.
79 episodes in and we're still not angry.
Still not tilted? I think the audience are the ones that are tilted, right?
Yeah, we get a lot of messages like, fuck you guys.
Well, happy gobble gobble, everyone.